You're listening to KJZZ's Here and Now. I'm Steve Goldstein in Phoenix. Maricopa County Animal Care and Control is in the process of undergoing dramatic changes. Over the summer, the agency laid off 11 people as part of dealing with a $2 million budget shortfall. That came a few months after the longtime leader, Assistant County Manager Rodrigo Silva, resigned. Now a new director, Mary Martin, has taken over and is moving the agency forward. She started her career as a veterinary technician and eventually became medical director for Maricopa County Animal Care and Control. Her most recent position was executive director for Santa Fe's animal shelter. I met her at her office on 27th Avenue in Phoenix. I started the conversation by asking whether the county and state have unique challenges when it comes to animals and pets.
Absolutely, there are different challenges, most of them medical, and I'm not sure you want me to get into that, but things like, for example, there's something called solar thermal necrosis, where dogs come in and people will always say every single time that someone has thrown acid on an animal, but in fact, it's from generally too much sun and an animal who could not escape the sun. So it's not just Arizona, but I had never seen it in all these other areas, in working in California too, never saw it, but we used to see it here frequently. Different kinds of parasites here. Valley fever, which we all know is a huge problem in animals, and in many places, veterinarians have never seen it. Distemper, we see here, not only here, but for example, I never saw it in New York, I never saw it in California, and I never saw it in Santa Fe. And the doctors, they've read about it or studied it in school, but never saw it. So medical issues, definitely different. In terms of the demographics, the size of our city, it's not so much Arizona, it's Maricopa County is huge. And spread out. So those challenges are certainly something to consider. I haven't figured out what that's going to mean yet, but certainly it's something that we're going to have to consider. In terms of seeing Chihuahuas and pit bulls, frankly, we're seeing those coast to coast and even in other countries. I visited shelters in London, and we're seeing some of those same problems across the pond that we are seeing here. Fascinating. So it is not just Arizona, not even just the United States.
Are pet owners conscious enough of spaying and neutering? It's a message we hear all the time, but do people take it to heart enough?
80% of the people do, and this is don't quote me on this number. It's certainly off the top of my head, but generally speaking, the conventional wisdom is that 85% of people get a newly adopted pet. They wait till they're 4 to 6 months of age. They get them spayed or neutered, and that's just what you do. But the 15% that don't are creating the majority of the problem in this country. And so you're seeing a strong trend toward one-on-one coaching, going into neighborhoods, literally going door-to-door to talk to people about spaying and neutering, making sure that those services are accessible to them, affordable, accessible, and that people understand the value of those services. Most people are really interested. There used to be this thought that certain demographics and certain sexes of people won't neuter their animals. That has actually been studied and found to be untrue. What has been found to be true is that people need to be aware that those services are available to them, they're safe for them to access, and that there's sometimes help for those animals to get to those services.
Is there any philosophy, is a valid philosophy contrary to that at all? Is there a philosophy that says, hey, you know, we shouldn't do this to the animals for some reason?
There are some people, certainly in the show world, that people don't want to, and to some degree can't. There are some schools of thought in the veterinary world that there are problems with early age spay neuter. Most veterinarians don't think that spay neuter is a problem. It's just early age spay neuter. From our perspective, of course, it's balancing the benefit, and it's a sort of a cost benefit analysis. And when you're dealing with the overpopulation, like we still are in Maricopa County, certainly the benefit outweighs the physical cost. But there are some studies that still show us that there may be some problems. Most people feel that those studies are not valid, but I am not an expert, and surely don't want to disseminate that information when I clearly don't have those facts in front of me. But the majority of the world accepts spay-neuter as the best way to control pet overpopulation. I should maybe rephrase that. Most people in the United States, actually in Northern Europe, most people think a leash is the best way to control overpopulation. Somehow it doesn't work here. I don't know why that is.
How controversial a topic is euthanasia? And determining when an animal should be up for adoption, or when someone can save or rescue, or when unfortunately, it may be time to end an animal's life.
Boy, you had to go there on our first visit. Sorry. It's one of those subjects you have to have a little bit of a sense of humor about because it is so fraught. It is a challenge. It's something that is so emotionally charged. Nobody wants us to euthanize animals for the kinds of reasons that we still are facing here in Maricopa County. We would love for euthanasia to be actually a way to end suffering for illness and those kinds of things. That is not where we are here, and it's, I believe, going to be my job to be transparent about that and look to the community for help. We are still overcrowded with animals that I believe would be able to be successful in a home. We talk about the term adoptable. I ask you what that means. Well, can these animals be successful in a home, and do we have enough time to find the appropriate home for that animal? Most every animal could, in my humble opinion, and I say companion animals, could be successful in a home if we had the time to find those homes. But there are, for example, we talked about pit bulls and chihuahuas. Pit bulls are still overrepresented, or pit bull type dogs, or people would consider pit bulls, are overrepresented in our shelters, and their length of stay in the shelter is 300 times longer than, say, for example, a little poodle that comes in. That little poodle that comes in will be out of here in seconds. The pit bull could be here if we had the time to give them for years. In the shelter where I was prior to this, we had dogs that were up for adoption for 16 months or more. There were no time limits, but space was not the constraint. So I was able to do an anecdotal study to look at that and who was getting adopted and what the time frames were. And our length of stay was so skewed because of the poodle on one end, who was there literally seconds as soon as it hit the adoption floor, was gone, versus the pit bull who was there 16 months or more.
And I'm not saying there needs to be a philosophical shift here, because I have no idea. But based on the experience you've had, is there a particular philosophy you'd like to bring here and express certain things or emphasize certain things both to the staff and the people who might come to adopt or anyone else?
I'm not sure if this is really philosophy or what I'm seeing right now is an approach I want to take. What I think we've got here is a situation in which we have a lot of need. There are people who are bringing their animals to us, and our job is to help those people with this problem. What I'd like us to do is be more customer friendly. So what does that mean? Who is our customer? Is it the animals? That's one customer. Is it the public? And so how do we do better by all the customers that we have? So it's helping people keep those animals in their home on the front end, help once they're here with us, helping them be successful while they're here, and which would require us to move the animals through our system much faster, and then providing an actual decent experience to good experience for people who are coming here to either to adopt or try to find their pet. So that's what I'm focused on, trying to create a positive experience from the time that someone's at the front door, and maybe we can help them keep their animal in their home, to that person who comes who's trying to adopt an animal or whatever their need might be.
When did you come to love animals? Because to do this as long as you have, it can't just be, oh, I want to have a pet, which is probably what many of us do, and you wanted something deeper than that.
I wish this was a really fancy philosophical thing, but what it is I was that kid who, like every child is, who points, Dougie, that's you see the dog, and you point, and you loved animals. I think all children do naturally, and I just never grew out of it. It's just that simple. And I didn't know what options there were available to me to be able to help. I probably, if I had known, and maybe if I was a bit smarter, I would have gone to vet school. But once I discovered that this was an alternative, that could actually make a living and still do what I loved and be around animals, it was a perfect fit for me.
When you love animals as much as you do, does having a job like this cement that love even further? Or when you see certain things that are tougher and struggles that people and animals have, does it make it harder to, or do you dig in even deeper to love animals?
I think you hit it on the head. I think you dig in deeper and you try to find creative ways to alter the paradigm, to look at the truth is you have to focus on what we've accomplished. In this nation in the 70s, we were killing millions and millions and millions, 17 million, I think, is the number that's bantered around in the 70s. And now we're down to somewhere less than 4 million. Still 4 million more probably than we want to, but you have to hold on to those successes and look at how that happened and then build on that to be able to say, how do we get to this place where some people use the term no-kill. I prefer to look at a they say no-kill shelter. I like to look at it from the point of a no-kill community, how we all can work together, both as individuals and in organizations, to create that kind of environment. And that is the key, is that we all have to work together to be able to achieve this. And I know it sounds simplistic, but really, at the end of the day, that's what I have seen working in other communities, is that collaboration between all factions to be able to reach that common goal. And I actually think Maricopa County can do it. I really do. But it is going to take a whole bunch of people with some very good brains.
And do you have any pets yourself at home?
That's an occupational hazard, and we don't talk about it. No, it's not that bad. I have 5 dogs and 4 horses and 3 cats.
Mary Martin is the new director of Maricopa County Animal Care and Control. Mary, thank you.
Thank you so much, Steve. I so appreciate this opportunity.